Welcome to episode 560 of Salcedo Paranormal. I'm your host, James Salcedo, and tonight we are continuing our review of the Book of Ceremonial Magic by Arthur Edward Waite. As always, you can find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me, at the podcast page. That is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O. paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening. Whether you are here for the live streams on Discord, or if you listen to the podcast or YouTube feeds, or on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Trouble Minds Radio comes on. And as always, I want to thank Michael Strange, host of Trouble Minds Radio, for having me on the network and putting these shows on there as well. So, if you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can share the show with others and rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. You can find books I've written, paranormal fiction and nonfiction, over on Amazon. You can also sign up for the Patreon page, where there is usually one extra show per month over there for all the paid membership levels there. Or you can also just send one-time donations through PayPal. Help is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in making these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. And I think that covers all of that. Again, this is these book review shows, as I've said before, there's a couple things to note about them. First, I always choose books that are in the public domain. And then what I do is I use AI to summarize each chapter of each book as I go, and then I read those summaries, and then we talk about them after, or during, or after I finish each section. So that's how I've been doing it. Overall, I do like it. Hopefully you all enjoy it as well. I was actually joking the other day with Michael Strange. I told him that I'm glad that I'm summarizing this book and not reading it sort of word for word, just in case anything were to happen that way. I am looking at this more as a book of on the history of magic, but also I'm not. I really do think that magic does exist, and so you never know what forces out there listening, and so I'm okay with just summarizing it as a bottom line to that, to all that there. But so let's get back into it here. We are on chapter 2 of part 1 of the book, and that chapter is titled The Rituals of Transcendental Magic. Section 1, The Arbitel of Magic. And it says, in summary here, the term transcendental magic is used informally and conventionally, not in an exalted or philosophical sense. It is loosely equivalent to Eliphas Levi's, I'm not even sure how you say that, H-U-A-T-E, and then M-A-G-I-E. Those are the two words there. I'm probably going to be doing that a lot. Also, I forgot to mention, too, this is written by one person, so we may not agree with the things that they say, and I will usually point that out when if I come across anything that I'm not sure about, or I don't know if I quite agree with there. So it says ceremonial magic has as much and as little transcendentalism as modern mediumship phenomenon. The intelligences communicated with reveal themselves through either frivolous or fantastic or frivolous offices. true transcendental magic, uniting the divine in human with the divine in the universe, is found in the works of mystics like St. John of the Cross, Ruysbroeck, Eckhart, Molinos, and others, not in the occult processes and theurgic ceremonial of ritual magic. An exception is the rite of exorcism, which is more exalted than anything in transcendental magic. So there are certain, I'm not sure if this word is putative, transcendental magic rituals are few. And it says here, it gives some examples. One, the Enchiridion of Pope Leo III, the Arbatella Magic, that's number two. And number three is Theosophia Pneumatica by an anonymous German occultist. Says the Arbatella Magic, 1575 is when that came out apparently, is the most important. Little is known of its origin and authorship. The text is in Latin. It says it has Christian ideas and cites Christ's sayings frequently. It does not mention Solomon. The Arbatella is incomplete with only one of nine proposed tomes. It covers general precepts of magical arts. Let's see how much more I have in this section here. Okay, we'll just continue on with this because I don't have a ton to comment on just yet. The Arbatella is... Oh, there you read that. If I can... There we go. So it says, it describes the Olympic spirits who govern the 196 Olympic provinces of the universe. They rule alternately for 490 years each. The powers of these spirits are curiously described. For example, Och, O-C-H, rules over gold, I thought it said good, but it's gold, both naturally in the earth and in alchemy. Names and characters of spirits only have power if ordained by God, it says here. The most effective names are delivered directly by the spirits, but last beyond, but seldom last beyond 40 years. That's an amazing idea there. So names change over time, which I can understand in a way. Sources of occult wisdom include God, angels, corporeal creatures, nature, apostate spirits, hell administrators, that's quite the phrase there, and elemental people. Secrets range from mystical regeneration to worldly ambitions, meditation, contemplation, faith, and justice aid in acquiring magical art. The seven Olympic spirits and their powers are described in detail, including the ritual for invoking them using specific prayers and characters. So that's the end of that section. It's amazing to hear how if you take the word spiritual out and put in alien, because they are talking about the universe, you could almost rewrite this as sort of a something else completely. And it is amazing how often in channeling, and I didn't know about this for a long time until actually talking with people like Derek there in the chat, that a lot of the seances and other things that happen with people, they don't always, the entities don't always claim to be spirits. They either don't claim to be, they don't claim what they are exactly, or they will say we're these entities from this region of space or this level of reality or whatever these things. And yeah, I never have either. Heard of Derek, since he's never heard of the, I think it was the Olympian Universal Provinces of all that. Yeah. So definitely, there's two episodes before this, Derek, in the series. So if you haven't had a chance to, I think there's two, to listen to those first two. It's the introduction stuff, so there may not be a ton there, but still might be interesting for you. So yeah, like cosmic fiefdoms. Yep. So yeah, so neat stuff there, just in concepts. That's part of it too, to me, is I'm not really summarizing this because I'm interested in doing magic. I'm more interested in what people have done and what people have possibly figured out, or thought anyway, and what experiences they've had doing all these things. That's sort of, because to me, that's the biggest thing is what is out there, what is possible, and how does magic in any form sort of mix into the paranormal and supernatural. So, moving on here to the next section. Let's see here. Jeff in the chat there says, this could make perfect sense, really. You could tie it in. Yeah, I think so. Again, just that similarity there from what I've heard about from other shows talking about people. I'll have to do a show at some point on the whole, and maybe we'll even have Derek on it whenever we can arrange a time to talk about that whole thing with the nine. Because that whole thing is, I think, could really fit into all this pretty well, pretty easily as well. So whatever, one of these days, no rush at all, Derek, but someday, if you ever want to do a show again, maybe that's the next thing we should do, is talk about that. And so anyway, yeah, I think it'd be good, because I think it fits. Going back to the document here, I want to get at least one more section in here. Once I find where I was at. Okay. Section 2. Had a title, but I'm not seeing it. Must not have gotten it. In 1686, the Arbitel was translated. Oh, another thing I want to point out, too, before I get to this is, it says it was incomplete. Was it incomplete, this one tome that they're talking about here, this one book? Was it incomplete because it was never finished? Or was it incomplete because it was finished, but then the rest was either hidden or destroyed? That's a question I have about that, because I feel like I've heard about that as well. And yeah, that the origin, they don't have they don't know who made it. Which again, if you want to go towards the more paranormal aspects of all these things, and we know that objects can appear and disappear, how do we know that there can't be books out there that were made by other entities, whether it's through channeling or whatever else, or even just completely made? So yeah, Derek says, yeah, and that the origin is mysterious. Maybe it was some channeled info again, yeah, and the transmission stopped abruptly or something. Didn't get the full download. Yeah, exactly. That's the other couple things that caught my attention with that first section there. So, excuse me. So, all right, back to this here. Let me see here. I lost my spot. In 1686, the Arbitel was translated into German and published alongside a work called the Little Keys of Solomon, or Theosophia Pneumatica. Theosophia Pneumatica. The words are interesting to try to say. Says no copies exist in the British Museum. Both works were reprinted in 1845 to 49. In the third volume of Schiebel's Das Kloster, to illustrate the Faust legend. So that's another figure. I'm sure you've all heard of the phrase Faustian bargain, all that kind of stuff. So it says both works were reprinted in 18... I already read that. Sorry about that. The 1686 Arbatel translation makes no reference to the original Latin edition. Theosophia Pneumatica does not state it is an adaptation of the Arbatel. The attribution of that Theosophia Pneumatica to Solomon is contrary to the spirit of the ritual. The adapter of Theosophia Pneumatica was influenced by either occult works besides the Arbatel, other occult works besides the Arbatel. There we go. Let's see. It uses, for example, it uses the term Talmud for the magical aspirant, which is not in the Arbatel. So basically, they're saying these documents have been changed over time. That adaptation emphasizes the transcendental portions slightly more. It says, exaltation of prayer is the end of the whole mystery. Theosophia Pneumatica contains an apparently original addendum on transcendental medicine that is as curious as anything else in this literature. The Transcendental Medicine Appendix affirms everything is threefold. Oh, there's that three number again, 369. From the Divine Trinity down to the human's body, sensitive soul, and rational spirit. It describes the composition and functions of these human principles. The spirit may overcome the soul to attain regeneration. Here's where things get tricky, I think, when you're using different words, spirit, soul, all these things. But anyway, there are two kinds of death, physical destruction of the body and astral destruction of the sensitive soul. The spirit departs in both cases. Let's see here. Okay. Let me see here. Okay, there we go. Humans should preserve their bodies against disease and combat baleful astral influences, but cannot cure diseases sent by God as punishment. So, again, this is, I believe, written from sort of someone devoted to a certain ideology or a certain religion. So just always keep that in mind as well. Most diseases can be treated by natural remedies and alchemy. And this is according to this book here. So censors, just so y'all know, that's the book saying that, not me. Incurable natural diseases arise from ignorance or indocility. So I don't know what that word means. I might have to look it up. But it does have docile in there. So I don't know. The appendix is influenced by Paracelsus and reproduces his terminology. So that's the end of that section. And let's see how long the next one is. Some of these are short. Let's see here. So, but we only have 4 minutes left, so maybe we'll just stop with that. So a lot of stuff here, just so many references to so many things. The ideas of the different aspects of the person. Let's see here. Looking back at the chat here, thank you all for all the chat. So let's see here. Yeah, I didn't get the full download. And the hell offices or whatever they said, yeah, hell administration or whatever. That's, yep. Let's see, Jeff in chat says, have a special combination show. Give Mike a night off on the night Derek has off. Yeah, give it the time it needs. Yeah, possibly. says Derek says, yeah, more underworld bureaucracy, possibly. Yeah, with the executives or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how Beetlejuice is just everywhere. And of course, that's the movie. And I am both looking forward to and dreading going to see the sequel. But that is amazing how that idea, even back whenever this was out, like 1913, I think it was, if I remember right, this book came out. That's over 100 years ago, but they're talking about materials that are even older than that, a couple hundred, few hundred years older than that. So that idea, apparently, and I guess I have heard of similar things before, I just didn't think of it until just now, the idea of there is some kind of order in whatever is out there that we don't see, the other dimensions or whatever, the afterlife, all those things that we don't hear a lot about unless you really dig into it the way that we kind of do here and other friends do on their shows. So, so yeah. And, what was I going to say? I lost what I was going to say. So this has been amazing to look at this so far. These, we're going to be on this second chapter for a while. There's like 5 sections in this chapter alone. I think there's like 6 or 7 in the next chapter. So this is not going to be, we're not going to be finishing chapter, like a chapter per show. That's for sure. And just for a tease ahead, there's like chapter 3, I think it is. It starts getting into some names and descriptions of some other entities out there, which at first I was taken aback by that. I was like, whoa, wait a minute here. Do I want to do this? But it is just summary, so I think it'll be okay. But yeah, so this is going to be, this is getting more interesting here, this book. And I can't wait to see what we all think about it whenever we finish it. It's going to be a long series. I think it's going to be at least as long as the complete Books of Charles Fort series. Maybe longer. So that's why I'm not labeling each of these episodes as part 1, part 2, part 3. Because in the end, we're going to have like, who knows, 20, 30, 40 parts. So I'd rather not really do that because that kind of gets redundant after a while. So just if you're looking at the episodes, make sure you go in the order of what they appear, and then you'll be fine that way. But also, of course, with all of you, let me know what you want to I have to look at that, Derek. You might be right on that. 1913, yeah. I'll have to look at that. I'll let you know if I find out it is the same year, if it did come out the same year. That'd be pretty wild. Or unless it was 1813, but I think it was 1913. But anyway, so yeah, a lot going down. And we've talked about that before, a lot going down in the zeitgeist, it seems. Derek and I have talked about that before, how that time period, exactly, Lovecraft, Tolkien, Crowley, something in the air. So thank you all for being here, and you helped me kind of fill out the show tonight. So thank you all again, and I will talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.